Well, would you like to have your Bibles open in the Old Testament at the book of Ecclesiastes? So if you find the Psalms, it's really easy to find Ecclesiastes, because after the Psalms comes Proverbs, and then you'll find Ecclesiastes and the writings of the teacher there. And I'm reading a verse from chapter 7, which I bring you the message of God's word from this morning. So here it is, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the 18th verse. It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. And that is the text for this morning. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. I'm just going to allow you a few seconds to let it sink in. I give you a few moments. The very thought of extremes is my subject this morning. And I suspect that it is applicable to every one of us. That is to the young people and to those older also. I think some people think that when I preach on subjects like this, I might be having a go at the congregation. Far from it. What is true here is true for me, will be true for every one of us, because the Word of God declares it. It must be that God takes a dim view of extremes, or otherwise he would not have written his Word in this way. Before I get going, I need to just tell you, of course, that there are great dangers in preaching a word like this, and I'm quite aware of it. If you don't think that you're subject to extremes, you might just turn off now and go to another place in your mind. But I think you'd be missing something of extreme importance this morning. It's a dangerous message in this sense that what is one man's extreme is another man's moderation. Are the junior doctors at the moment extreme and wanting a better contract and more money and better working conditions? Or, in fact, are the government extreme? Who's the extremist in that? I'll leave it to your own minds, and I don't want to interfere with your thinking. But there it is. What does the word extreme mean? What do we conjure up when we think of extreme? It means lacking restraint. It means without moderation. But the best definition is this. It's the furthest point from the centre. So if you want to think of extreme, it's the furthest point from the centre. It is that place which takes us to the poles. And it's painfully obvious to all of us that the passions of the soul easily run to extremes. People speak, don't they, about extreme sports. And no one thinks anything about it. It's a part of our vernacular. It's a part of our modern age. Who thinks that extreme sports are bad? What does God think of it? Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. James and John were extreme, and that's why they were the sons of thunder. So when Jesus came to this Samaritan village and they were not received, they immediately said to the Lord, "Let's call down fire from heaven." And it took the rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ to put them straight, because they were extremists. I'm a great lover of the Protestant Reformation. Any of you know me will know that to be the truth. But in their zeal and their extreme approach to purifying the church, they smashed the buildings and smashed the windows and the great artifacts and the paintings and I don't know what else, the furniture. And to this day there are some people who can't get past that kind of manner and behaviour and get to the heart of the glory of the Protestant Reformation because of the madness of that horrible blot upon the landscape. Is this message important today? I'll tell you it's important, because what do we have so much on our news and in the newspapers? What is being talked up so much at the moment? but Islamic extremism. Surely in the Christian church, if God has spoken about extremes, then we have as much right to think about these things and address these questions for ourselves in our own time. Or is it just the Islamic extremists that we want to think about? Do the young people need to listen? Is it extreme to spend 5 hours a week on PlayStation games, or 5 hours a week watching television, or 20 hours? Or 5 hours or 20 hours a week on social media? Is that extreme? I don't know. You tell me. Is it relevant? It must be relevant. It has to be. Is it extreme to be wasteful with our time? Is it extreme to be lazy? Is it extreme to have the Protestant work ethic? What is it to be extreme? What about the extremes in the use of money and the extremes that we use with regard to our gifts? What about the extremes of buying homes and furnishing them? What about the extremes of this, that, and the next thing? Is it possible, I'm asking this question, for us to live at the centre? Is it possible to live at the centre? Actually, part of the yearnings that each and every one of us have is to live at the centre, to find the golden mean. Very often when you talk to people, the thing that distresses them most is the fact that they are at the extreme in one form or another. God says whoever fears him will avoid all extremes. It's worth saying something at the moment. If you didn't know it, I come across some of these writings as a student, but I'm not an expert in the philosophers. That if you go back to Plato and you go back to Aristotle, there is something very interesting about them. They were impassioned in their desire to find out about the golden mean. They recognized in life, in society, amongst people, that there was this question of the extreme, and they wanted to explore it. What about the extremes of passion and the question of the extreme of apathy? And they wanted the philosophers to find out about these questions. But this is what they said. However driven a person was by their appetite, it was too mighty, it was too strong for their resolution. So no matter how strong your resolution is, the appetite outgrows it. The appetite is bigger than the resolution. They were very wise. And Plato, for his part, in his work The Republic, he could see no hope at all for future generations because of the corruption and the helplessness of human nature. He could see no hope for the golden mean. And yet we have our text. God has said, whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. So I want to suggest a few simple points this morning that you'll be able to take with you and hopefully use for the rest of your lives. The first is something about the nature, the temperament, if you like. In Proverbs 16, you don't need to look at it, we read these words, I'm quoting from the Authorized Version, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. I think the person who rules his or her spirit, listen carefully, he that rules his spirit is never driven to extremes. And anger is one of the extremes that is used by the writer of the Proverbs, because it's a vehement emotion. If you like, it's a specimen that's put forward to give us an idea of how we might be at an extreme. Just imagine someone who can rein in their anger like you can rein in a horse and control it. Just imagine that person who is not driven to extreme with regard to their emotions and anger. Such a person, I guess, will probably be able to regulate so many of their other emotions. What a thing to be even. What a thing to be even-tempered. If I ask you to concentrate on the message this morning, I'll do it now. Who wouldn't want to be even? Who wouldn't want to be even-tempered? I think every single one of us. I'm trying to attract you into the message. Aren't you attracted? Surely you must be. This is the golden mean. What extremes we face in our life. Let me just point to some of them. What are the extremes with regard to using the world? Which Christian does not battle with the question of using the world and the question of extremes? What a challenge not to abuse legitimate enjoyments. And some people have felt the stress so greatly within their breasts that they've retreated into a kind of monkish contempt and a rejection of all things worldly. And then there are others who are so absorbed with the here and now, with the things of time, that they lose a grasp of eternal realities. What need for equilibrium? What need for the golden mean? Surely I can attract you into it when God says whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. It's true that the nature of this question lies with this. It is about the one who can rule his or her own spirit. By nature, friends, we are all unbalanced. We are all impulsive. We are all so passionate and ill-governed, so much that the psalmist says, he that rules his spirit is mightier than a conqueror of a city. Are you attracted to avoiding all extremes? You should be, because this is what God would want from us. Now let me draw another point, which will be very helpful. I'm absolutely convinced of it. To think like this, what are the obstacles? What are the obstacles? Actually, although I've got some to suggest to you this morning, you will have your own to fill in between the parts that I put forward. But the obstacles essentially are two. The obstacles are like this. The obstacles are those things which are physical and those things which are mental. What opposes the golden mean? What about extremes with money? What about extremes with families and success and food and drink and pleasure and so on and so forth? These things are about our physical and about our mental. And so there are two things. So I put it to you, two things which are obstacles to extremes. Here we go. Our human nature is corrupted. How is it corrupted? The Bible says it's corrupted both in the physical and in the mental. Are we corrupted completely and absolutely in every way? You might not like to hear this, but at Trinity Evangelical Church, we believe this truth. We believe in original sin. We believe that the whole nature, every part of us, is corrupted by sin. When God made Adam a physical being in his nature, he would have been perfect. And you'll all be interested in this. Think about Adam in his perfection, without extremes. Just imagine it. All of his appetites and his sensibilities all held in perfect equilibrium, in perfect proportion. It was sin that knocked him out of balance, and it is sin that has knocked us out of balance in our physical and also in our mental. You won't like this when I tell you, but it's the truth. We are extremists. Not the bloke over there, but we are extremists. We love ourselves when we're supposed to love God. We're extremists. We love sin and not holiness. We are extremists. Sin has unbalanced us. And we can say that with Adam, every single thing about him was balanced. He was even tempered. What a sight it must have been. He was perfect. He was not an extremist because it was the devil who made him that. In his physical being. Now think of it. In our physical being, in our physical appetites, how exorbitant are we? How exorbitant in our physical beings are we? And with Adam, those physical appetites reached that exorbitant level to the point where they went beyond their proper limits and they broke over the bounds of his moral and his intellectual abilities and they overpowered him. And this happens to us. Don't we suffer in our nature because of our extreme cravings physically? You think of it for yourself. Unhealthy wants and desires. And the golden mean is hardly ever considered, hardly ever thought about. What do we say in our physical condition? This is what my flesh wants. This is what it needs. This is what my appetite desires. This is what I must have. Let me just give an example. I could choose endless examples. I'm choosing this one. How extreme are we regarding food? Our extreme has become the norm, so that you no longer register it as extreme. You haven't the capacity. God does, but we don't. Actually, do you know, I say this to all of you, if you listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, you'll never refuse any food that anybody gives you. Because his word is to receive it always with thanks. He told the disciples, if you're offered food, take it. So my advice to all of you with regard to food is if you're offered it, take it. I have my likes and dislikes like everyone else, just like you. But if food is offered to me, I take it as a principle. Because it's extreme to not do so. And God says, avoid all extremes. You see, extremes with regard to food have become so acceptable. I'll tell you what, I'll show you how easy it is to prove the extremes regarding food. I'll take you to a camp in Syria and I'll show them a film of you rejecting food where they're only eating grass and ask me, do they not say that you are extreme? Do they not say that we are extreme? Of course they do. When we turn our noses up at good food, when they would eat anything because they're having to eat grass. Isn't it right to say with the scripture, nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanks? And I'll tell you that the children will learn to develop their extremes regarding food. Of course they will. And they'll learn it because they've been given an example. How many other examples might be given this morning with regard to the physical side of extremes? But it's not just the physical. It's also the intellectual. The physical is an obstacle, but let me tell you this, the mental, the intellectual is much bigger. Much, much bigger. In fact, the mental, with regard to extremes, is the greatest challenge that we will ever face. Just listen to the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Corinthians. He says this to the believers, throw down, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Bring every thought. And we begin to understand our extremism when we read Isaiah the prophet and he says, the whole head is sick. I don't say it, but Isaiah does. It's not just the body. It's our intellect. It's our mental beings. Our morals run to extremes because our intellects run to extremes and they tend to be ruled. And there won't be a single person in this room that cannot in some way acknowledge that in their minds, in their intellects, that they easily run to extremes. And someone has said that it is more hopeful, and I agree with this, it is more hopeful that we can conquer the physical extremes than we can conquer the mental ones. What happens? What happens when at length the extreme laziness of the mind is allowed to be stimulated by weak and miserable things over and over and over again? Indiscriminately reading trash. Indiscriminately listening to, I say indiscriminately, listening to music. Indiscriminately watching TV. Indiscriminately on social media. Indiscriminately at the extremes. How will you bring the mind back to an equilibrium? How will it be done? How will you, friends, it's not called the golden mean for nothing. It's called golden because it is the place of gold to be at the centre. How many will be those who have been driven to find, as it were, in their extremes, no cure? In the mind particularly. Do you know, if I asked you, would it be all right for people to take drugs and stimulants? You'd say, oh, that's extreme. Oh, is it? Oh, how extraordinary. That is extreme, is it? But for our minds to be delivered over again and again and again, in an extreme way to something for which we can never ever be released, that seems not anymore to be considered to be an extreme. Ask yourself, have I got rule over my mind? You can ask yourself, have I got rule over my mind? Have I got it to the place of the golden mean? Or is it in fact at a place of extreme? What a thing impulsive passions are. What a thing that many of us have never even heard of Plato's golden mean, nor perhaps do we care so much about it. Just recently someone told me a story, someone here, of how there was a moment in time when collecting children from school, there was a brief moment, 5 or 10 minutes to wait for children. And in that moment, this person whipped out the telephone. Straight away, instantly, without even a second's thought. To look at what was on the telephone, but decided to stop. Just stop and say, hold on, no, I won't do that. I'll just take in God's creation. I'll just look at the sky and just look at it and look at it. And think about it. And I thought to myself, that's wonderful. That's Christian sobriety. That's moderation. That's comparative cool. That's what I would call it. It's unpassioned. It's one who rules over their own spirit. And as I say it, here am I with my own extremes. My extreme, as I've been told, my apologies to my children, my daughters-in-law, my extreme softness toward my grandchildren. God help me to have a more balanced and middle approach toward them. For each and every one of us, there is something to be learned here this morning. We can find examples, every one of us, about how we might find this golden mean. I recently went to Manchester Airport, and this isn't the first time I've been struck by this, but I was very struck on this particular occasion. Henrik and I were in a kind of holding area and about 20 to 30 people, I suppose, waiting there. And there was a woman on a mobile phone. And she did as if no one else existed. Now, her behaviour, from my point of view, was extreme. No one else thought it was. They thought it was quite normal. So everybody had to listen to her conversation. We were forced to. And what I would have loved to have done, I would have loved to have got a group of young teenagers, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, and get them to go and stand next to her and make a huge amount of racket, football songs or whatever. Do you know what she would have said? She would have said, this is outrageous behaviour. This would be considered to be extreme, loutish behaviour. And do you know that 10, 20 years ago, when young people did that, they were louts, they were thugs, not considerate of people and spaces. And now here is a woman. She was obviously maybe in her 30s or 40s. But without any consideration, her extreme has become the norm. And nobody bats an eyelid, no one thinks anything about it. I'm pressing you to think this morning about the golden mean, because it is at the centre. And it is most expressive of what God is and what God would want us to be. Is God at the centre or is he extreme? Well, it's easy. And he wants me to be like himself. Can I recommend that if you are in a place like that, that you take your telephone and go to a quiet corner and make your telephone call privately and think about other people and don't be extreme in behaviour, or otherwise all these things will be lost. It will be gone forever. And it will be a new and learned extremity from which we will not recover. Remember this. God is at the centre. He is at the golden mean. And he says in his word, whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. Now, by now, you will have all had your minds thrown all over the place, because you will. And you'll have thought about all sorts of things that I've not even mentioned, and I leave those quietly with yourselves. Where can we discover this Christian golden mean? What's the source of it? Well, there's an answer. The place where we can find temperance, where we drive out extremes, the text gives the answer. God doesn't just highlight our troubles. He shows us the answer. And I hope you'll just give me a few moments to explain it, because it's so very important. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. Of course, to fear God is not to be afraid of him. In fact, the very opposite. Anybody who fears God, I think, has come to love him and to have the love of God in their lives. If Adam had feared God in the garden, he would have loved him more than himself. But he didn't. He loved himself. And the source of realizing the golden mean is the fear of God. And the fear of God is to have the love of God within one's life. The love of God in the soul. And then there will be an even temper. Because love, listen to me, suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. Love is not boastful. Love of itself has the perfect balance. It is the golden mean. Plato and Aristotle threw the towel in at this point. It's quite interesting that they could see no hope for mankind because they were very conscious of the power of the human soul and its inclination to tend always to extremes. And so they said that they could find no hope that there would ever be an answer. They could see the inclination in extremes toward the physical. As they saw the rampant sexuality, the physical, and also the intellectual, and they could find no hope whatsoever. They knew of no cure. They knew of no method of cure. But God does, because he can generate his own love in the soul. And that love can bring equilibrium. I'm offering it to you this morning. Who wouldn't go for equilibrium? I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. The extreme in my language before I was converted, I hated it. But how to get an equilibrium? How to get to the golden mean? How could it be found? Only by the power of the gospel. Only by the power of the love of God within the soul. How could I curb my fleshly appetites or my extreme ideas or my views or my behaviour? If I said to you, what do you think of Marxism? You say, it's an extreme. Okay, those were my inclinations. My leanings were towards Marxism. Don't tell me that capitalism isn't an extreme. We need the golden mean. Of course we do. I'm not trying to affect your votes, for instance, in the perhaps June up and coming referendum. You do as you like. Friends, we need a new affection. We need the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. We need the love of Christ to constrain us, so that the golden mean will be realized, so that its strong and powerful influences will be so great upon our lives that we will be driven from extremes and we will be brought to the center. Of course, it's not limited to a particular part of the soul. No, it permeates and affects the whole spirit. As the love of Christ permeated your spirit to drive out extremes, I hope so. It affects head, heart, mind, understanding, will. It'll melt pride. That's what love will do. With its warm breath, selfishness will disappear. Anger can't stand in the gentle force of love. Love will drive out extremes, friends. And we will be the kind of people that God would want to be. To quote the scripture, love never fails. Love conquers all. Can you have your extremes conquered? You can by the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And at this point, just let me quickly say, it goes without saying that all of this shows the need for Christ's new birth that he speaks of. You can't achieve any of this without Christ's new birth. That's why Plato and Aristotle threw in the towel. They knew nothing of a new birth, but Jesus said a man, a woman needs to be reborn. They need a new start. Otherwise, they will always live at extremes. Love will display beautiful moderation in our lives, but extremes will shut it out. Which do we want? When I look back over the history of the church has been a church of extremes, sadly. Mostly because it was mixed. It was a mixed multitude. Should never have been that, of course, because the church is a regenerate, living, reborn family with the Spirit of God in each and every member. But if you look back over the history of the church and you see the extremes with regard to discipline, and then you see the extremes now at this moment with regard to leniency, None of them display love. Is it loving to be lenient when there should be discipline? Is it loving to be a disciplinarian and on top of everybody when there should be lenience? Love will be the regulator of all these things in the life of the church. So if we want to get somewhere with regard to extremes in the church, in our lives, there needs to be a renovated life. There needs to be a new life that is lived by the power of the Spirit of God. When we read the last letters of the Apostle John, he's no longer the son of thunder. It's gone. It's disappeared from him. And while he's valiant for the truth, his doctrine above all else is the doctrine of love. He's been brought, if I can put it this way, to the golden mean. The love of Jesus Christ has so worked in his heart that extremes have been driven out. Friends, God is the golden mean. And the way you access that is through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's been a long message, but it's vital. Don't you think so? Liam? Isn't it? It's a vital message. God doesn't want extremists. Can we look at our lives again and ask by the grace of God for God to so work in us, to drive away our extremes so that we might be made even more this week in the image of God, look more like him and give glory to his name. If this message has done something to that end for the glory of God in the life of the church and for the happiness and the well-being, if I have done something for the young people and they are more tending this week to think that they will do for perhaps, let's just say, not that I know anything about social media, only what I read, but perhaps you could use half your time on it, or go without it for a week, go without your music for a week, go without television for a week, or whatever it might be, you decide. Or have the extremes so got to our physical and to our mental well-being that we are trapped and we can never extricate ourselves? The philosophers had no answer. Thankfully, God does. The answer lies in fearing God. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. Oh, may God be gracious to us and help us and speak to us through his word this morning. We'll have a lot to talk about after the, while we're having coffee, I'm sure we will. God bless his work to us. Amen.